Hello friends, thank you so much for visiting me again. Today, we will discuss something about Pratyahara. Why it is called yoga's forgotten limb is something really interesting to understand. In Yoga Sutra, we say, when the senses do not conform with their own objects, but imitate the nature of the mind, that is Pratyahara. There are 8 stages of Raj Yoga: Yamas, Niyamas, Asanas, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Pratyahara is known as withdrawal of the senses. So, this is the core dimension of this practice, that is complete turn off of the external things and tune in to your inner self in a much deeper and conscious way rather than the unconscious way that we are normally used to do. Adi Shankaracharya in the ancient text Yoga Taravali says, when mind has transcended Maya, when ego has become static, when senses are no more functioning, and when all the communication between the mind and the senses has been cut, when I and you no longer exist for a period of time. The term Pratyahara is composed of 2 Sanskrit words, Prati and Ahar. Ahar means food or anything we take into ourselves from the outside. Prati is a preposition meaning against or away. Pratyahara means literally control of Ahar or gaining mastery over external influences. It has been compared to a turtle withdrawing into its shell. The turtle's shell is the mind, and the turtle's limbs are the senses. The term usually translated as withdrawal from the senses, but much more is implied. In yogic thought, there are 3 levels of ahar or food. The first is the physical food that brings in the 5 elements necessary to nourish the body: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The second is impressions, which bring in the subtle substances necessary to nourish the mind, the sensations of sound, touch, sight, taste, and smell, that constitute the subtle elements, which is like sound or ether, touch or air, sight or fire, taste or water, and smell or earth. The third level of ahar is our associations, the people we hold at heart level, who serve to nourish the soul and affect us with the gunas of sattva, Rajas and Tamas, the prime qualities of harmony, distraction or inertia. So basically, Pratyahara is twofold. It involves withdrawal from the wrong food, wrong impressions and wrong associations, while simultaneously opening up to right food, right impressions and right associations. We cannot control our mental impressions without right diet and right relationships. But Pratyahara's primary importance lies in the withdrawal from or control of sensory impressions, which frees the mind to move within. By withdrawing our awareness from negative impressions, Pratyahara strengthens the mind's power of immunity. Just as a healthy body resists toxins and pathogens, a healthy mind resists the negative sensory influences around it. If you are easily disturbed by the noise and turmoil of the environment around you, you need to practice Pratyahara. Without it, you will not be successful in this practice. So there are more details, how many kinds of Pratyahara is there. I know it's a really tough word, and I just try to read what I have written, or just try to find the things from here and there and just try to explain it in a better way. So these yogic words and translations are really difficult, but I hope and I feel that all of you should be able to, or will try to understand a bit of it, if not everything, because these are really, really tough phrases and statements, and I completely agree with that. So all this is a background to understand what exactly is Pratyahara and why it deals with our environment, because when we start this practice, environment is an important factor, as I mentioned. How do we have an environment that actually enhances this session or your practice and does it in a better way? So we will go through certain interesting parameters that constitute a good environment for the practice. For example, the first parameter is time of the day. So as we all know that everything that this practice does is withdrawal of the senses. So to achieve that, the first parameter, time of the day, is definitely the most deciding factor, which is going to really, really play an important role going forward. So mornings or any time of the day is preferred, as long as it provides fresh air. It's advisable to be near the window, it's properly ventilated. Most important time is before the sunrise or just after the sunset, as these are termed as golden hours. I'll explain what is a golden hour and how it can be useful. Usually it is preferred to have fixed time every time so the pattern is not disturbed. So consistency is the key, which is actually the most underrated parameter in every phase of life. So yeah, we need to follow that here too. The second is place. The place of your practice, the place of your session, where you want to sit, where you want to lie down. Most of the time, this practice involves lying down. So it's really important to have the same place every time, because places store energy and they carry a bioplasmic signature, in a bit geekish Nordish word or phrase, and has a defined way and pattern attached to it. So places should have a provision for fresh air, as we have seen before. So windows are preferable. It should be neat and clean, and if possible can have some elements of freshness present. Well, you can use room freshener, but if you're allergic, then please avoid such smells. Also, you can use incense sticks, which also serves the purpose because it provides personality to the space of practice, and it will also create a strong mental pattern for the place, which helps the mind to get in sync every time. this is really important, and if we can follow that, then the battle is half won, because place and time of the day are actually critical here. The third is not too much critical. Some importance to this, like you can have a fleece blanket and a non-sticky yoga mat should be enough. Blankets are required as they provide warmth during chilly sessions of yoga nidra. Body temperature cools down, and it's very important to cover the body during the process to maintain the flow. Now, this is mostly useful when you're deep into the practice. Initial sessions, you may not feel that flow of the energy in your body. It takes some time to really reach there, but in third or fourth sessions, or maybe further, you will actually start feeling the importance of blanket or something to cover your body so that the body heat is not disturbed. Because when you are in the zone or in the flow, then any external disturbance really hampers a lot, and it just degrades the overall progress. We have to start from zero. That's a learning in spiritual practices, and this is one of the spiritual practice, so we need to follow according to certain criteria. So be aware that you should have something near to your place, which is like a blanket or fleece blanket or anything which is warm to cover your body. And we'll look further when we start it. And then comes the dress. Anything comfortable is fine. I prefer to be nude, but it's not possible everywhere, because at the end of the day, we need to cover our body. So yeah, sometimes people say nudity is a new normal. It's like a naked innocence. It's a new form of defined art. But then maybe it's not feasible here most of the time. So especially in group sessions, it's not possible at all. So yeah, also it's perfectly fine if you're comfortable, and at the end of the day, it all depends how comfortable you are. So just define your code and wear it the way you like it. That's all the intention here. Then comes the noise. Now, noise is something that we really need to understand on a physical and metaphysical layers. Usually we love noise and we hate it too. It's a double-edged sword, and we need to treat it that way. For example, there is a noise type which is called white noise. When there is a fan whirring on your top of your head in summers, or any kind of noise which is has a constant frequency for a long time, actually it is relaxing to our minds. So if there is a defined white noise, that is perfectly fine. But initial stages, when we start to learn this typical practice, it is preferred to have less noisy spaces. And because this is a guided practice and students have to follow the practitioner's voice, so focus is required. Also, it's important that lightning is not that harsh, and it should be on the softer side. So external noises, usually in the mornings, are really disturbing and distracting. Not on the late mornings, but if it's in the early morning, then it's really good. Less distracting, we can do that. And also, there shouldn't be any kind of discomfort. So if you are lying there, and if you're in particular space, in a sofa, recliner, on a bed, on the mat, on the floor, anything and anywhere is fine, as long as you are comfortable and you have no physical discomfort. So these are the few parameters which should be kept in mind before starting the practice, because the ultimate goal is to feel the bliss. So this is all about the forgotten limb of yoga and how environment enhances pratyahara for us. So that's it for today, and thank you so much for being with us. Please give us your feedback, and also I'm looking forward to any recommendations and any other topic that anyone wants to, that you really want me to cover in the upcoming sessions. Lots are planned going forward, and this is just a start. So thank you so much for being with me, and I'll see you soon. Thank you.